please listen carefully.
Well, hello, world. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories and in-depth articles by thought leaders written by our award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. See what I did there, Christy? I updated it. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy podcast. And we're also sharing our thoughts, opinions, feelings, what's going on with us today, because, hey, that's what the world needs, more people sharing their feelings. Today is Thursday, May 28th, 2020.
And just so you know, I finally did update my home office, so I now have a home office-worthy home office.
So we have been on quarantine for 3,749 million days, and Christy finally just got herself a peripheral mouse, which for those of you who are in the media world know that when you've got 4 screens running and a ton of different content and you're editing and looking at different channels, if you don't have a peripheral mouse, it is arduous. So I think we should all take a moment and say, great job, Christy, for welcoming new technology into your life.
Yes. Well, thank you, Summers. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. We had a busy, busy day at the Optimist Daily yesterday. Really great stuff happening, but we are working with our tech team to roll out a new incentive structure to encourage emissaries to come and pay and help fund the Optimist Daily. In the past, we haven't always been very good at asking for money, and we've had this amazing conversion ratio and unbelievable open rates and engagement, but the simple fact is we have to be a little more aggressive in asking for subscribers. So we've worked really hard with the marketing team and the tech team to come up with a communication plan for that. And so that is where my head has been, is coming up with a solution to continue to fund the Optimist Daily. And I'm feeling really good about it. We have a meeting with the tech team later today. We've got the mock-ups ready. So I'm feeling good. And on a mom note, I made a whole new play area with Brennan yesterday afternoon. And yes, it was still in my home. And yes, it was the exact same toys she's been playing with since she was 6 months old. But it felt new. And she's cruising around and walking and holding on to things. And yesterday she stood up in the middle of the room and kind of looked around and thought about taking a step and then sat right back down. So those are my updates. I am feeling pretty good.
It's amazing how large the things can be that are so small.
Yep.
Just
what's
a little standing toddler.
You and your health and healing.
Every day I'm feeling better, and I'm really amazed at how smoothly and how quickly this whole thing developed. It was just this time last week that I just was coming home from spending some time at the hospital, and it's just interesting to feel all the support I got from my friends and my family, my coworkers, and the amazing doctors and the hospital. And they just were like so on top of everything. I totally felt safe. So I appreciate that so much. And I feel lucky that I am in a situation where I was able to get my health needs addressed in such a wonderful manner. I feel for people who are not in the same situation that I am, whether they don't have insurance, they don't have access to a great hospital right nearby, or other things. And I feel like it's a tragedy that we don't have just universal health care so people can just go to the doctor when they need to and take advantage of all of the amazing technology that is available and skills and medicines and everything. And in the middle of a public health crisis, we really have to think about public health in a new way. I'm interested to see how this develops, but I feel lucky that I was able to get the help I needed. Yeah. That's where I'm at.
I love it. I love the gratitude, and I am very grateful that you live near and have medical resources available to you because you are precious to me and everyone here at this team. So thank you for taking care of yourself and thank you for being ready to come back to work. You have not slowed down a bit. I think it's just part of the MO of being an Optimist Daily executive. There's just a lot of solutions out there that we have to keep hunting and keep sharing. So she's back at it, guys.
I mean, there's so much to share with the world, and I'm excited to be here. And so speaking of solutions,
is that what you were about to say,
Summers?
I was literally about to say, speaking of getting back at it, should we talk about some of today's solutions?
Yeah.
I kicked it off yesterday. What's got you going today?
Well, there's a couple of stories that really caught my eye, as usual. Hard to choose, but the one I'm choosing is from our building community section. And the headline is, you can now rent barbecue grills from Finnish libraries. The reason I love this, and this is Finland, the country, but they take community sharing above and beyond as a nation. The libraries there not only offer books, but also sewing machines, board games, musical instruments, sports equipment. And now that summer is approaching, you can actually rent barbecue grills from the libraries in Finland. The reason I wanted to highlight this story, and I suggest everyone go to today's solutions and find it. I think it's the bottom of the feed for the emissaries, but everyone can read it today if they get online, is I just really think the public library is a precious institution that we should celebrate and appreciate more than we do already. Lending books is great, and they are centers of community in many neighborhoods. I know, Summers, once you can go back out in the world, my guess is you'll probably start taking Brennan to Saturday reading hour at the library. I've done that with my kids and my nephews, and it's really a great time to take kids to this place where there's all this books and information. But also, we're so focused on owning our own things, but then it sits in your garage. You have a drill set or something. How often do you actually need a drill? It's great to have one if you can, but why not have a lending library of tools that you can share with your neighbors? I just love the idea of having community resources, having tools, having equipment, having other things that you don't need very often available. And that's why I wanted to talk about this story.
I think it's fun to think about in environments and urban areas where you might not necessarily have space for a barbecue. I know for us, we use our barbecue every single day. I actually force my husband to cook on the barbecue more often than not, simply because I don't want to have to clean up the kitchen. He is an amazing cook, but he is a messy, messy cook. And so our barbecue is our use everyday kind of thing. But then there's other stuff in our house that we just don't use every day. Whether it's, you know, the teenagers' bicycles, they don't use those every day. And certainly there's bicycle share organizations. We don't have any near where we live. But there's a lot of stuff that if you look around your house and you realize you're just kind of paying for storage, you're not paying for usage. And that is exactly the lending library concept that I think is great here. Now, Christy, you mentioned that I think lending libraries started, it wasn't a common thing.
I think, and I didn't look it up, but I'm pretty sure Benjamin Franklin came up with the idea of lending libraries for books and other things in the beginnings of this country. I love Benjamin Franklin for many, many ideas, but this is one that I think is a great one.
Yes. Okay. So I'm Googling it here right now. Founded in 1731 by Benjamin Franklin as a library, the Library Company of Philadelphia is the most significant collection of historically valuable manuscripts. So yes, the lending library was officially founded on July 1st, 1731. That was the first library here in the United States. I also am a fan of Benjamin Franklin, and I think our next story is one that Benjamin Franklin would have liked as well. Everybody in Finland, go borrow your barbecue. Everybody elsewhere in the world, figure out how we can make some lending libraries. And let's talk about toilets.
Yeah, I like this story a lot too, Summer. So go ahead.
All right. So the bidet is a worldwide device that is only just now starting to finally be embraced in America. As we all know, there was a shocking toilet paper run at the beginning of the coronavirus quarantine and isolation time frame, and getting toilet paper became shockingly difficult in the United States. I don't think I've ever read an article that fully explained why that particular item became the focus of purchasing, other than that I guess people really, really worried that they might not have it. Well, a lot of countries in the rest of the world, toilet paper is actually gross and not something you would even want to have. And that's where the bidet comes in. So if you don't know what a bidet is, it's a small bathtub-like fixture situated next to the toilet with taps on one end. The tub is filled with water and the user straddles over them to wash below the belt. This is for all genders. You use it after using the restroom. So these days you can buy an attachment to put in your toilet rather than a separate wash basin altogether.
Actually, Summers, when this all started in Costco, I think I was there right in the beginning. They had totally run out of toilet paper, but in the section where they would normally have toilet paper, they had a stack of bidet toilet seats you could add to your toilet.
That is genius replacement marketing. Well done, Costco. Well, guys, Americans use nearly 28 pounds of toilet paper per person annually. 28 pounds. We are responsible for 20% of the global toilet tissue consumption. Toilet tissue is actually super bad for the environment. It takes an estimated 37 gallons of water to make just one roll of toilet paper. The bidet is just, you know, maybe a cup of water to wash off. If you wanted to match the water savings of bidet, you'd have to limit use to about 1.5 sheets of toilet paper per bowel movement. I don't think that is realistic. So wiping with trees is pretty wasteful, and experts insist that bidets are superior for your posterior. Whoever wrote this for the Optimist Daily, our staff writer, did a genius job. Now, it's really interesting, Christy, and this is kind of where I said Benjamin Franklin would have liked this. The bidet has not gained popularity in the United States, particularly due to more puritanical sensitivities and the idea of touching one's genitals being really inappropriate and trying to create that physical separation between any sort of genital acknowledgement that we have here. Yeah. You know, vaginas and penises and anuses are terrible things, right? And so in the United States, that puritanical sensibility has precluded us from using bidets, which is actually a cleaner, fresher, more pleasurable experience in cleaning up after a bowel movement. It's really exciting in a way because we're kind of seeing the sloughing off of the sensibilities, because all of a sudden the idea of toilet paper being a limited resource. And this is kind of fun. One last little point on this bidet story is that another bidet supplier, Brondell, says they are selling a bidet every 2 minutes on Amazon. So guys, the bidet is here, and I want to know, do you have a bidet? If you do, do you like it? We're going to post this on the social channels of the Optimist Daily. So let's get a conversation going about the best bidets. And if you don't have a bidet or you don't want to use one, tell us that too. It's just a really interesting conversation. And we don't have them at our house, but this article made me want to go be the next buyer.
I think this is an interesting story, and it's just good and refreshing for us to talk about all of those nether regions of our bodies, which are very much a part of us and who we are. And I think that, again, it shows how cultural how we take care of ourselves can be, and how it can be influenced by things which really have nothing to do with hygiene or health or practicalities, but rather ideas about what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. As you know, I spent time in India. And while I was there, I mean, I learned to use other methods for keeping myself clean, because toilet paper is not a common thing in India, except for the more westernized upper classes.
And I get like super tactical in asking, for those of us who don't know, how does one handle a bowel movement if you don't use toilet paper?
Well, this is funny, because actually when I was there, after I was there for a little while, I had to ask somebody, I'm like, how do you actually do it? Because I know you do this. What do you actually do? And so basically, generally what you have in India is every bathroom, even if it's just a hole in the ground, there's usually a measuring cup, like a plastic measuring cup, and a water source nearby. Uh-huh. And what you do is, after you've evacuated your bowels, which is usually done by squatting because they also don't have the kind of toilet seats that we typically have very commonly. And that actually makes for much easier bowel release. So then you take the cup of water, and you, with your right hand, you take that cup of water and you sort of splash yourself, and you use your left hand and you get up all up in there and you clean yourself off. And then you dry yourself with a handkerchief or your washcloth that most people carry with them everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then you go out, and there's usually a basin right there to wash your hands with soap, and you wash your hands really well. And that's how you do it.
Interesting. All right.
And it's no big deal. And it just becomes part of what you do. You do it in the middle of everywhere. And yes, it's good to have a sewage system and take away the waste, but toilet paper is not necessary even in those situations. And it's more environmentally friendly, as this article points out. Creating toilet paper actually uses more water than if you just wash yourself after using the toilet.
Well, I'm sure you remember when you climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, but I did the same. And there were areas where hikers and climbers traditionally would go to the bathroom along the trail. And I always found it really remarkable, the amount of toilet paper. And that was something everybody said, don't forget to pack toilet paper. And if hikers on Kilimanjaro just changed their behavior, if we even just learned how not to use toilet paper, the amount of waste that would even be there. And I'm sure major climbing routes all over the world have this problem as well.
Oh, yeah. So the thing I'm really curious is, who came up with toilet paper and how did that become a thing? You know, we take it so for granted, but where did it come from? So I'm gonna start doing that research because I'm curious.
I'm like Googling right now. Okay, but we have to move on.
The other article that I was so excited about, I went for the libraries, but we have an article today about an all-electric aircraft that's going to be flying. And I think electric air travel is really a cutting edge technology. They're still trying to figure it out because of the weight restrictions of having a heavy battery. But air travel is one of the most environmentally unfriendly things, the way that it's been going now that the aviation industry has kind of collapsed with people not traveling. That's been an area that is going to be really transformed, I think, in the next decade with electric air travel, with hydrogen air travel. There's some really interesting stuff happening in this field. This is a great article. People should definitely read it. One of our readers already wrote in this morning about electric aircraft. And one of the other pollutants that you don't really think about when you think about air travel is the noise pollution that you get from these huge engines flying overhead. And so I think electric aircraft are probably a lot quieter. I know that now that I have an all-electric car, yesterday I had to go to the store and I turned it on and I was like waiting for it to turn on, but it was already on.
But it was already on.
It's so quiet, you know?
Well, our other headlines on the Optimist Daily today that you can go and read include an article about biofuel, potential of Mexican prickly pear, Crayola releasing a more diverse Colors of the World crayon line, yoga poses to offset the consequences of sitting too much, an official definition for upcycled food, a story about indigenous people in Brazil with a historic lawsuit after 24 years, the rare audio of narwhal buzzes, clicks, and whistles, those unicorns of the sea, and a robot barista in South Korea maintaining social distance in tech. And I think that's what we've got from the Optimist Daily today. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you, yes, you, can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for only $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism and our mission to help everyone in the world focus on solutions instead of all the problems. Be a part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with that problem-solving mindset. Thanks so much, Summers. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Amelia, for editing. You do an amazing job, and we're incredibly grateful for you.